For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
So, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. So I want to start by providing the context of New Year's past. So, and our founder in Japan, Eihei Dogen. So on this occasion of the New Year in 1242, Dogen said, "As the heavenly sky is vacant and clear, oneness attains oneness and is undefiled. The earth is covered with nourishing moisture, penetrating 1,000 and soaking 10,000. How is it right at this time?" After a pause, Dogen said, "News of spring spreads harmony, and the entire world is fragrant. The deity of spring sits immovably in the cloud monk's hall. On each branch, flowers bloom with coral color. The blossoms of the world open, and this is a heavenly realm." So this was his invocation of the new year in 1242. And, of course, this was the Lunar New Year. We celebrate it as Chinese New Year, and actually we'll celebrate it the end of this month, Sunday, January 29th. We'll celebrate Chinese New Year. It'll be a children's celebrations on the last Sunday morning of this year, and this year is the year of the rooster, or the year of the cock, and sometimes also described as the year of the fiery female chicken. So both of those descriptions seem appropriate somehow. And so again, the new year for in Dogen's time is a little later in the season than ours. Another one he did was in 1247. "On this great auspicious New Year's morning, I am delighted with Zazen. Zen practitioners engaging the way are peaceful, just as they are. Each person is joyful and at ease with a spring-like face. Noses and eyes manifest presently. The snow on the river is completely pure and white." So, there is this. This is a new year. We can enjoy Zazen. As ever on a new year, we can enjoy this sense of new possibilities, of new resolutions, of freshness, of change. And, of course, this year particularly, we have significant change. We have a new administration. So, given our President-elect Trump's bragging about his sexual assaults of women, and apparently and women coming forward and talking about their experiences of this, the day after his inauguration, January 21st, which is a Saturday, there's going to be a million women march in Washington, D.C. Hogetsu is going, and actually many Soto Zen Buddhist teachers are going. If you're interested in going, whether you're a woman or a man, you can contact Hogetsu to find out about her plans. But there are also going to be events around the country that day, including in Chicago, I forget the time, I think starting at 10 o'clock in Millennium Park. So I'll be going to that one. This is, you know, it's a new year, like any new year, and also it's we face particular challenges. So I want to say, first of all, that I understand that there were people who voted for Mr. Trump, and out of some of the same sense of wanting change as the people who voted for President Obama in 2008, that our system of government is obviously controlled by billionaires and so forth. It was then, is now, and there was a great desire for change. So I'm not... this isn't about people who voted for Mr. Trump, and it isn't even about Mr. Trump himself. It's about what the policies that are promised portend for us, and how do we respond. That's how I see it. This isn't about particular people. It's about how we respond to the issues of our world and our country. And it's also about Sangha and how we discuss this together. We have the opportunity to respond and resist and be present together. So I want to read a portion of an article by my old friend Alan Sanocki, who is the vice abbot of the Berkeley Zen Center in the Bay Area, and also is the president of the Soto Zen Buddhist Association. I'm going to read some of this and then talk about it some. And, you know, this year is, like every year, provides fresh opportunities and fresh challenges and particular ones. And Alan starts by talking about Nyogen Senzaki. And I'll say a little bit about Nyogen Senzaki before I start reading. He was Suzuki Roshi, in some ways, in the 60s, began Zen practice in America. D.T. Suzuki and other people had introduced Zen philosophy. But Nyogen Senzaki, I think in the 1920s, actually, in some ways, introduced Zen practice in California. He had various little places along in California where he didn't think Americans could sit on cushions like this, so he had little halls with chairs. But he introduced Zen practice, and he supported himself by being a cook and a dishwasher. And anyway, so this is what Alan wrote in part. Nyogen Senzaki was the first Japanese Zen master to live and teach on our shores. Along with 120,000 Americans of Japanese ancestry, he was interned as an enemy alien, confined at Heart Mountain, Wyoming, during World War II. Senzaki Sensei wrote this poem on Buddha's Enlightenment Day, December of 1942. And there are volumes available of beautiful poems by Nyogen Senzaki. But this one is, excuse me, a swarm of demons infests the whole of humanity. It resembles the scenery of Gaia, where Buddha fought his last battle to attain realization. We Zen students in this internment meditate today to commemorate the Enlightened One. We sit firmly in this zendo while the cold wind of the plateau pierces our bones. All demons within us freeze to death. No more demons exist in the snowstorm under the mountain of compassion. So he had a zendo in the internment camp of Japanese Americans. Alan continues, a swarm of demons has arrived to infest the United States government. In the midst of this swarm sits the king bee, Donald Trump, gloating and pompous. We need to speak clearly about the incoming administration. I am scared for myself, my community, for our country. There is no need to wait and see what Trump will do, to hope that President Trump will become kinder and gentler than candidate Trump. So far, it is not looking good. Consider the generals, corporate executives, and contrarian political appointments he has already named to high positions. Many of us feel like aliens in our land. Some of us really are aliens in our land. Some suffer more than others, of course, but prison gates are closing around us all, and cold winter pierces our bones. The Standing Rock Reservation, where Lakota people are fighting to protect their ancient lands and waters, is 500 miles east of where Nyogen Senzaki was interned at Heart Mountain. The brick and steel housing projects of St. Louis, Chicago, Baltimore, and other cities serve as boot camps for prisons disproportionately populated by young black and brown men. More than 100,000 undocumented minors have found their way across the U.S. border, many from distant homes in Central America, some apprehended, interned, or repatriated, others scrambling for life in the back streets of the southwestern cities. Good manufacturing jobs in the northern Rust Belt are long gone. Family farms in the Midwest are little more than precious memories. We are all doing time in America. This is nothing new for large parts of the population. The demons have been here all along. They are just more visible now. What is to be done? We urgently need our best thinking and dedicated action. We are called to resist, respond, and find creative and collaborative ways to withdraw consent from a life-denying government, withdraw consent from our own oppression. Gandhi wrote, and this is a quote from Mahatma Gandhi, "I believe, and everybody must grant, that no government can exist for a single moment without the cooperation of the people, willing or forced. And if people suddenly withdraw their cooperation in every detail, the government will come to a standstill," unquote. Allen continues, "Our watchword must be non-cooperation with oppression and immorality, cooperation with our friends and those who suffer the most. We must withdraw consent from collaboration with an ethically tainted government, even when it means a diminishment of personal privilege and loss of our illusion of safety. In the broadest way, this principle of resistance resonates with the Bodhisattva's vow. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to free them, to feed and shelter them, to welcome them into our homes and congregations, to guard them from fear and danger. Years ago, many of us embraced an expression, the personal is political. Now we understand that the political is personal, the political is spiritual. We deepen this understanding by talking to our friends, to our sanghas and communities, and within the organizations and alliances we join." And he suggests various ways to bring this about, listening to those most at risk in our sanghas, immigrants, the poor, peoples of color, to support and stand up with them. Educate, agitate, organize. Study and act together. Create a new vision of an equitable society. That's what we've been doing all along as Sangha, as Zazen people. And then he refers to Dr. Martin Luther King, "Practice nonviolence." Dr. King wrote, "Nonviolence is a powerful and just weapon. Indeed, it is a weapon unique in history which cuts without wounding and ennobles the man who, or person who wields it." So, these are particular challenges in the year to come. And I want to add that also we have the joy of practicing Zazen, of practicing together, of seeing the wholeness of our life, of remembering that there have been difficult times throughout human history, that somehow we will continue. But this is a challenging time. And how do we recognize the potential challenges that particular members of our Sangha may meet? People of color, immigrants, LGBTQ people, women whose health care is going to be threatened. So, you know, just to add, Alan mentions the appointments that President-elect Trump has announced, and some of them are really, to me, frightening, from the new Secretary of State, who is the CEO of ExxonMobil, who has sponsored for 30 years this, or since the mid-70s, the fossil fuel-induced climate damage that is harming the world, to the new Secretary of Education, who is basically pledged to destroy public education. And I think of my own very good public education, to the Attorney General, who has made many racist statements in his past, and so forth and so on. There are many. To the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency, who has pledged to end the Environmental Protection Agency, and so forth. So, our practice is to face ourselves, to face our personal greed, hate, and delusion, to also see the possibility of living wholeheartedly, uprightly, with dignity. But how do we apply that in this context? I can say lots more about this and my own views of this. Again, it's not about, what we have a precept about not speaking of the faults of others. It's not about particular people. It's about problems that face our society and our friends and people threatened with oppression, people threatened with deportation, people threatened with even worse situations. The massive incarceration of African-American young men, and which affects us in Chicago because of all the gang violence when young African-American men, many of them feel like they have no other options. So, okay. I think one of the gifts of Sangha is that we can look at this together. I don't have the answers or the last words on this. I'm bringing up this koan for us all. So, comments, questions, responses. Again, we do have African Americans, we have Muslims, we have immigrants in our Sangha. We have people who have already lost their jobs in our Sangha because of Trump announced appointments. So, comments, questions, responses, please. Yes, hi, Eric.
Just a comment on the appointment of the left and secure massacre in support of each other. This has consequences for the entire world.
Yes. Yeah, and I think the rest of the world is going to see the United States as a rogue nation. I mean, sorry to put it that way, but that's weird. This is going to be the only country in the world that whose head of state is a climate denier. Many other countries in the world are, you know, responding, and actually many, you know, the state of California, the city of New York, and Google Corporation have all announced that they're going to move ahead to try and follow the Paris follow the Paris Climate Agreement, even if the federal government doesn't. There are things that people are doing already to respond to this around the country, and so the worst of this is already being resisted, and how do we support that resistance? Yes, Kathy.
I was just thinking, strength of those two degrees is a hope, but when was the Prime Minister of China, you know, his comment after the skirmish that happened was something to the effect of the Chinese people and the American people have worked together for many years, and one person is not going to change all that. And it was hugely encouraging to me, because I feel like the rest of the world is going through something too, in terms of these backlashes, you know, conservative backlashes in different places. But there's also a sense that there's a larger picture here. Companies are now taking a stand that different representations within our country are taking a stand that is more progressive and for all of us, or consuming all of us. That part is hopeful, so I just thought I would throw in that thought.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Ryan.
I think it's key that a country realizes the power of direct action and nonviolent action, and realize that the power of that in conscious resistance, because with nonviolent direct action, you are doing something, and we have already shown that a good part of the country has shown that they are going to stand up and they won't take Donald Trump's policies. So I think it's key to realize we are not defeated, and we're going to stand up for what is right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I totally agree. Yeah, it's true. Change happens not from elected political leaders, although, you know, a lot of things are going in this, the way this country is run, are going to be destroyed by this new president, I think. But real change happens through the power of people and direct action, as you say. So I'm going to be, there's also an event happening January 15th around climate in Chicago, and I'll try and get more information about that for people. That's an action that's going to be happening, and I plan to be participating in these things, and I haven't done civil disobedience since soon after the Iraq war started, but I'm looking forward to that this year. Standing Rock is one example. Many, many people gathered in Standing Rock. Native American people from all over, but many other people. I'm pleased that there were also Soto Zen priests there. And at least temporarily, that halted that pipeline and that extension of fossil fuel. So it's difficult, but it's possible. And, you know, I've talked about this, all of the big progressive changes, including, you know, women's vote less than 100 years ago, happened through women marching in the streets. All the advances of the LGBTQ movement, civil rights. Anyway, yes, thank you, Ryan. So that's something that, you know, it may not be that all of you are drawn towards that kind of action, but please consider it this year. And I'll be letting people know about events like that. But there's also things like writing to senators and congresspeople to oppose some of these Trump appointments. Almost all of them are really egregious, really appalling. At the same time, there are some things that President Trump may do that I might agree with. You know, he's talking about infrastructure changes, and he's ending some of the trade agreements that I think, you know, have been hurtful. And so, you know, we have to pay attention. But thank you, Ryan. Yes, Nirsan.
I fundamentally in accord with everything that you're saying. I have noticed since the election that, particularly since the election, which is signal something that's been going on a long time, but I have a lot of concern for us as a Sangha and for people on the left and progressives, just basically right-minded people, all this kind of thing. There's really a expressed effort, maybe you could call it, to kind of separate ourselves out and to sort of want to locate the issues that are going on as basically all somebody else's problem. I read a very interesting thing in a book by Dale Wright called What is Buddhist Enlightenment? And he has this chapter basically where he explains how and why Thich Nhat Hanh, when people were sort of vilifying the author Supi Rodney King, why Thich Nhat Hanh, he did not defend that action in any way, but he also made a case for taking personal responsibility for it in that, all of us we're all in this together, and all of us in this room and in this country have participated in various ways for allowing these things to come about. Now, it's not like, Laurel sent an email to me, I think some of us did, it's not like responsibility and blame is absolutely evenly distributed, but we all play a role. I mean, we talk about energy, for example, as if the way we live had nothing to do with what's going on. We talk about racism as if it's somebody else's problem. This is, I read a very interesting thing where Trump supporters, for example, and Clinton supporters were polled for their racial attitudes, and 40% of Trump supporters endorsed statements that were fairly clearly had a racial bias. You know, what I remember is that blacks in general are lazier than white people. But interestingly, so they 40%, but interestingly, so did 25% of the so-called East Coast elites, the progressives and all these people. So I think it's very important that we, as we, do things in the streets and elsewhere, that we also be looking at ourselves and also be sort of keeping in mind the whole set of the causes and conditions that produce certain attitudes in other people are the same way we're caught up in. And so I've seen this too, I think because people are so upset, including myself, that there's this tendency to kind of take political discourse down to this real finger-pointing level. And I just really think the situation calls for more from us in this situation.
Yes. Thank you very much for that. I think as Zazen people, to put it that way, one of the things we have to give to the kind of mass movements that Ryan was talking about is that sense of not finger pointing. It's not about bad guys. We're all racism, slavery is part of the karma, the collective karma of this country. We are all affected by it, one way or another. And so it's not somebody else's problem. That's right. And we all benefit from the way Native Americans were treated in the history of this country and their land taken and so forth. And, our economy is based on, North and South was based on slavery, so forth and so on. Yes, so we're all part of this. So it's not about, so the police who have committed atrocities are also part of the pattern of fear that we all are part of. So to have that sense of not blaming, but trying to respond constructively and positively about how we, that's what practicing nonviolence, I think, is about in part. So I thank you for bringing that up. This is part of what that and so how do we the whole process of responding to anger from a place where we also have this sense of calm and of not reacting to anger, but transforming that to how do we respond constructively and really looking at that and trying to, I really don't wish ill to Donald Trump personally or his family or anything like that. That would be silly. Why? Why do that? I wish he wasn't, in power and harming people or the people he appoints. But it's not about, wanting... Anyway, we have to think more deeply. So thank you, Musa. Yes, Sid.
I consider myself left, and also as a social worker, I'm involved in a very leftist profession. That's something that's been very difficult for me, is that I haven't really found any comfort in the response from the left. I feel that we've just been swinging a pendulum further and further each direction, and the responses that I've heard so far, I feel worried that we're simply pushing that pendulum even harder, and I don't know where it's going to go. And so I think it's really important for us to really read that Metta Sutta, when it says about suffusing the world with love, because I just don't know how we can suffuse the world with love and also embrace impermanence and non-self while also saying things that people are pompous.
Yeah.
It just really seems to me like creating self and attacking. And I really wish that right and left would march, but pay attention to how we're marching. Because we not only have to respond to our collective karma, but we have to wonder what collective karma we're creating right now. And it's not just the what, it's the how. And I feel that the how has fallen by the wayside, not only in the right, but also very much in the left, and also in some of, I think people who do value compassion have found themselves caught in this as well. And so I think that using these cushions and what we experience as a barometer, it is very important. When we talk, do we feel that anger? We have to be really honest with ourselves, or we have to be honest.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and that one sentence of Alan's, I, you know, cringed myself, but I read it. But his point about how do we help support people who are going to be, the basic point, how do we support people who are going to be endangered by what's going to happen, I think is something we need to look at. So it's going to be an interesting year. And how do we use the energy of concern and anger and fear and not be, you know, just controlled by it?
Sometimes it helps me to take a long view, and I feel like our President Obama has been doing a bit of that during the last weeks in the office in terms of talking about social progress and zigs and zags. Sometimes I wonder if the current state isn't a necessary phase to get us to greater clarity about human rights and care for our environment and things like that. But maybe we need to really fully try out this option before abandoning it for something healthier.
Well, yeah, it's possible that the response to seeing the worst of the activities of Mr. Trump will turn things in a way that will ultimately be very helpful. You know, but there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be hurt, and how do we take care of them? And the situation of the climate is really pretty serious. So, big come on for us. And I think it's really important in the middle of all of this, in the middle of struggling with this, to remember to take care of ourselves. I've been reading this, see if I can find it, this passage from Dogen that I like about the fundamental point of Zazen, of practice, is to first arouse the vow to eliminate suffering and bring joy to all beings. It's the starting point. But then he ends, here it is. The family style of all Buddhas and ancestors is to first arouse the vow to save all living beings by removing suffering and providing joy. So how do we address the suffering that's going to happen? But also we have to find how to enjoy the opportunity to be alive and to take care of suffering beings. He ends, he says, only this family style is inexhaustibly bright and clear. Even when climbing up the bird's path, he ends, taking good care of yourself is spiritual power. So it's important as we try and respond to the difficulties, and as we try and nonviolently resist the worst of the suffering, and that we take good care of ourselves, spiritually, physically, take care of our health. This practice allows us this sense of balance. So one of the things we have to offer, first I think to feel the sadness and the anger when that comes up about what is happening, but then also how do we use that energy, how do we take care of ourselves, how do we enjoy the possibility of being present and upright and find that which we enjoy in our lives. So what Alan says about the political is personal, political is spiritual, this all intersects. We have to take care of ourselves personally, we have to take care of ourselves as Sangha and support each other. I've been calling people in our Sangha who've been ill and trying to, you know, express support. We have to, you know, take care of each other. And then also the people who are in our world who are threatened. And also take care of ourselves, enjoy our practice and our lives, and find the balance of that so as to be able to be more helpful. It's a big challenge. Yes, Nyesha.
Suzuki Roshi, his Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, has a line, I don't know if he has said it in this particular context in mind, this kind of context, but you know, he says, even if the sun should rise in the west and set in the east, you know, something like the path of the bodhisattva is just the same. You just keep doing what you're doing. And, of course, in the very, very, very earliest, I think maybe the first one was the fire sermon, the first sermon the Buddha gave. You know, the world is on fire. And, you know, there is a way in which that's always been true. Now, I mean, things that, you know, the specifics always change. We're, you know, I fully believe we're into some kind of a new phase, and it's going to call for different things from us. But, you know, the fundamentals of the situation, in some sense, maybe haven't changed. And to, you know, to the effect that all these things, that we're worried about with Donald Trump, which are very, very real worries, and it's maybe kind of waking up and paying attention to them, but that we're doing it now, as opposed to doing it, you know, 2 years ago, you know, really does sort of indicate that, you know, as practitioners or whatever, you know, we're kind of buying into the American dream in the sense of real, you know, the sort of ideological befuddlement, where we're really not seeing what was going on, and that's part of how this current situation came about. So I don't know where that leaves me. I mean, I think the sense is, you know, yes, we've got new and specific forms of these problems, but the teaching has always been that, you know, we live in a samsaric world. The Chinese translation of that, one of them is, you know, a sea of bitterness. And part of that is just our situation as human beings. And what, you know, the fundamental, however we choose to express it in our daily lives and in our practice in the streets and all that, you know, the fundamental response that is suggested is the practice. It's working with renegade delusion in all its forms. And that shouldn't come as news to us.
Right. None of this is new, but it's going to be more intense.